Okay, we're starting here with the new parak on the top of Kuf Lamed Amad Aleph. Parak is called Zeruah VeLechayim and refers to part of the Matnot Kuhuna, which come to the Kohanim and the Gvulim. Outside of the Mikdash, they're entitled to certain gifts from Bnei Yisrael. And because they do not have a Nachala, in exchange for them not having a Nachala and being the Ovdei Hashem, therefore they get this entitlement of being supported by Bnei Yisrael in that role. That's in Devarim Yudchet, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Lo yeh lekohanim v'levim kol shevet levi chelek v'nachala im Yisrael, ishei Hashem v'nachalato yochelun. So they don't get a Nachala, but they get ishei Hashem v'nachalato. Anything that belongs to Hashem, they get. Nachala lo yeh lo b'ker v'chav, Hashem hu nachalato kasher diber lo. Hashem is their Nachala, and therefore they will get supported by Bnei Yisrael. And that's also what we see many times the Gemara used, we saw it in the last parak, Mishulchan Kovoa Kazachu, that the Kohanim eat off the table of Hashem. I mean, what we give to Hashem, then Hashem then gives to the Kohanim his Avadim, his Mishartim. Then the Pasuk says in Pasuk Gimel, V'zeh Yeh Mishpat HaKohanim, Meit Ha'am Meit Zovchei HaZevach. This will be the mishpat. We'll see with Darshan today what that means, mishpat of the Kohanim. This is the law, the takanon for the Kohanim. Meit am, eit zolchei zevach, for anyone who brings a zevach, we'll see again today that refers to chulin and not kodoshim. Im shor im se, comes off of behema, behema kshira. And atan lekohen, the Kohen then gets a zeroa, lechayim, and keba. It's the foreleg, the cheeks, and the stomach. And right after that is Reshit Gancha, Tiroshcha Vitzarecha, Reshit Geiz Tzonecha Titeno. So other matnot that are in the Gvulim, that's the Trumot that come along of the Reshit Gan Tirosh Vitzar, and then Reshit Geiz, which we'll get to in the next parak, also the first of the shearings, which is used more loosely. The Reshit Geiz is not like Truma in the sense that it's only the first, only that piece of it. But Reshit HaGeiz is a borrowed term from Truma, which is that a portion of every time that you do the shearing, a portion of that goes to the Kohen. So that's just a little background to our Mishnah today. And now the Mishnah begins with a familiar format that we've seen a number of times, which is Azra'a v'lachayim v'akiba, nogim ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. It's not a davar atalui ba'aretz, and therefore it's noheg both in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bifnei abayit v'shlo b'nifnei abayit. The Mikdash being extant is not impactful here in terms of the Matnot Kuna. B'chulin, avalo b'mukdashim. It's only true of chulim, not a mukdashim. Shaya b'din. It's a kal v'chomer. U'mayim achulim shein chayavim b'chazev v'shok. When it comes to chulim, they're not chayav in chazev v'shok. Chazev v'shok or the matnot of the Kohanim from the Shlomim. They get the chazev, they get the chest, and the shok is the rear right leg. Nevertheless, they are chayavim b'matanot, chulin, which doesn't have the gift of chazeh and shok, yet is chayav in zruach lechayim in keba, kodshim shechayavim b'chazeh v'shok, kodshim that already have the chazeh and shok, enu din shechayavim b'matanot, certainly they should have to give over the matanot of the zruach lechayim in keba, tamad lomar, v'etein otam na'aron ha'koheinu l'vanav l'chakulam. So in Vayikra Zayin, by the Parsha of the Shlamim, Parsha of the Shlamim, it says, Ki et chazeh tnufa, vet shoka truma lakachti meit ben Yisrael mizivchei shalmehem. Shema says, I take those from the Shlamim, va'etein otam, Aaron HaKohen ulvanav l'chakulam meit ben Yisrael, they're given to them. Otam means those exclusively, and nothing else. In lo elama, shemur b'inyan. Whatever's written in the Pasuk, it's limited to that. And that's the only thing they get out of the Shlamim, the Chazeh and the Shok. They will not be entitled to the Zeruah, the Chaim and the Keba. Tosu points out, without the Kal v'Chomer, you would have had a Havamina that it only should apply to Chulin. Because the context in which the Pasuk was written. The Pasuk of Zeruah, the Chaim and Keba, the subsequent Pasuk which you just read before was, Reshit HaGancha, Tirosh Chavitzarecha, and Reshit HaGeiz, which are all Inyanim of Chulin, not Inyanim of Kodoshim. So the context in which it's found seems to indicate that it's a Din in Chulin. Zovchei Zevach. So it's not clear what Zovchei Zevach could be in the Mikdash or outside the Mikdash. It's not clear what Zovchei Zevach is an ambiguous term. The subsequent Pasuk that talks about Truma and talks about Reshit HaGeiz, which are clearly Chulin issues, Tosfos said, I would have had it from the context, I would have said it's Chulin. Along comes the Kal v'Chomer and says, maybe not. Maybe not just by Chulin, also by Kodoshim. And that's why I have the Pasuk by the Shlamim, which says, Ve'etein Otam, that limited, Chazeh v'shok is the limited gift that the Kohanim get out of the Shlamim, nothing more, meaning not the Zeruah, the Chaim, and the Keba. Kol HaKadoshim Shekadam Mum Kavua Lehekdesham V'Nifdu. So this is actually in a Mishnah that's entirely found in Bechorot. And all the drashot are actually found in Bechorot to explain each of these pieces. We'll go through them. Rashi quotes them over here. I also sent a daf that has the sukkim, just some of the drashot from the Gemara in Bechorot in it. So it's brought here because there's a small relevance to our Gemara, and brought in Bechorot because of the relevance in Bechorot. But you have the exact same Mishnah in both places, which is you have Kodeshim, Shekadam Mum Kavua Lehekdesham. They already had a Mum before they were Nigdash. So if they have a mum before their nikdash, they can't be kadosh b'kedusha d'guf, because they can't go on the mizbeach. They had a mum already, they can't go on the mizbeach. So what they have is kedushat damim. Then vin nifdu, then they are redeemed. Kayavim b'bechora u'b'matanot. So you can see why it's found in Bechorot and why it's found over here. Then animal is chayav in bechora. If it gives birth to a bechor afterwards, it will be chayav. That bechor will be considered a bechor kadosh. And matanot, after you shech this animal, it's considered to be chulin. Chulin de gamre, that you have to give zerah lechayim and keba from such an animal. V'yotzim de chulin, after you've redeemed it, one is allowed to, the higazez, to shear it. Lehave, to work with it. Vivladan v'chalvan mutar. And their offspring, and their milk production, are mutar l'achar pidyonan. This is all after they have been redeemed. They become basically what is a behemat chulin. They return to being a behemat chulin, the gamre, and therefore all these items that are normally true of a behemat chulin will be true of this animal. Okay, so the chiddush, obviously the second half of the Mishnah is going to be just the reverse, so that'll be the chiddush. But in addition to that, you have here something that's interesting, which says that only the achar pidyonam, only after they redeemed is this true. That means that while they are kadosh, dushat damim, they are patur from the matanot. They're also patur from bechor. Why are they patur from bechor while they're kedushat damim? So that is based on the Deya and the Gemara in Bechorot asks this. It says, turim mina bechorah mina matanot, kasavar, this tana must hold, kedushat damim, midachem mina bechorah mina matanot. So there's part of the chiddush in this part of the Mishnah, which is, we are discussing after it's redeemed. But that means before it's redeemed, it has kedushat damim, and kedushat damim will be sufficient to take it out of the parsha of Bechor and to take it out of the parsha of Matanot. That's the piece of the chiddush. Now, in addition to that, v'shochet b'chutz patur. If you shech this animal outside of the mikdash, there is no shkut echutz because it was never ra'uy to get on the mizbeach. It's not ra'uy the mizbeach. The shkut echutz is not an issue. This is even when it's kadosh b'kedushat damim. This is even prior to it being nifded. V'enosim t'mura. Because it has kedushat damim cannot create a tmura. And that's based on a limud in the Gemara and Bechorot. Gemara and Bechorot says, wait a minute, we know that tmura, which is found at the end of Sefer Vayikra, says, Rabbi Tov, Tovira. That tmura can apply even from a baal mum to a tamim, and from tamim to a baal mum. So why over here can't you do a tmura with this of kedushat damim? So the drasha in the Gemara and Bechorot is venosim tmura my time damakra lo yachlifenu velo yamiro tov tovera rabitov hashta rabitov amartalo tovera mibai ella. Where is it coming to teach you? Tov mi ikoro oset tmura. Something that was once a tamim that can make a tmura. Rami ikoro, something that was always rami, always is a balmo, en oset tmura. So this animal, because it always was a baal mum, it never entered the phase of hekdesh when it wasn't a baal mum, therefore it does not have the ability to make a tmura, create a tmura here. V'imetu, if they die, yivdu. One can redeem them even when they are dead, because the din of hamada v'aracha, the din that kodeshim require an assessment of value, and they have to be able to stand, means they have to be alive in order to redeem them, is only true by animals that have kedushat aguf, not with animals that have kedushat damim. That's one. Number two is that we don't have a problem of redeeming them leklavim, redeeming them to feed them to the dogs, because no restriction, which we'll see by kodshim that have kedushat aguf, there's a restriction to redeem them lachilam leklavim, to feed them to the klavim, that you can't do. So over here, the kedushat damim has neither of those. It doesn't demand hamad of aracha, and it also doesn't have that restriction of giving it over to klavim. If you redeem it, you can. You can be podeh kochidamim in order to feed them to klavim, because it's cool in the gamre, you can do what you want with it. Therefore, they are redeemable. Chutz, the exception to this rule is a Bechor and a Maser. Bechor and Maser are exceptional because they are chal, irrespective of whether the animal is a Tamim or a Balmum. And that's really because the Kedusha happens by the mere fact, by the Bechor that it's born, and by the Maser, because it's the tenth one that's passing through the gate. That there is no choice being made. The individual is not making an active choice as to which animal will be the Maser or the Bechor. It's a natural process, or in the counting, whatever turns out to be the tenth is automatically the Maser Behema. So because of that, Bechor and Maser are fully chal, even on a Behema that has a mum up front. And all the normal restrictions that apply to a Maser and Bechor will be applicable to an animal that has a mum. The difference being that a Bechor that is Tamim goes on the Mizbeach, Bechor Balmum is given as a Matana, the Kohanim. Same thing the Maser. The Maser is brought on the Mizbeach. If it has a mum, it's kept by the Baalim. So that fact that they have a mum before their Hekdesham is irrelevant in terms of their Hekdesh being Chal. So that's why the Mishnah says it's an exception. Now, the reverse case, and this is where most of the Chidushim come. Kol Shekadam Hekdesham et Mumam. If they're already Kadosh, and then only afterwards they got the mum. Or, mumover, kodem lekdesham. They only had a mumover, which is nothing, doesn't mean anything. It's a passing blemish, which will cure itself and will be fully rehabilitated. Over there, doesn't affect the animal, it has kedushat aguf. It means that it has full kedushat and up on the mizbeach. But then, lachar mikan, no longer mum kavua. And then it gets a mum kavua after it was already kadosh bekedushat aguf. Vinivdu. And now they were redeemed. The pasuk that addresses this is a pasuk in Dvarim. Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Yud Bet says, Rak, b'chol avad nafshecha, tizbach v'achalta basar. So it says there, whatever your desires are, tizbach v'achalta basar, you shecht it, and then you can eat the basar. Ki b'rechat Hashem l'kecha, asher natan l'cha b'chol sharecha, hatamei, v'ator yochlenu, katzvi v'chayau. Tamei and Torah can eat it yachdab, together, like the tzvi and the ayal. Now you would think that this pasuk is talking about basar ta'aba. Talking about whenever you want to eat, chulin, this is what you gotta do. You can have to be tizbach v'chalto, do shchita, and then eat it. The thing is that the subsequent parshioto in Dvarim talks about yarchiv Hashem et gvulecha, Hashem expands your borders, and there it talks about basar chulin. So Chazal tell us, the limud is, that this pasuk that we just read is talking about kodshim that have a mum. Psulei ha-mukdashim, that's what it's called. And the pasuk is addressing what happens to psulei ha-mukdashim. It says, tizbach v'chalta, after you redeem it, you can shecht it and eat it. Chalta basar, kibrichad Hashem l'kech shentan l'cha, en atamei v'ator yochlenu, meaning that there's no din of tuma along with it, katzvi v'chayal. Now based on that, there are many drashot that come out of this pasuk that tell us what exactly you're allowed to do with this psulei ha-mukdashim, and that's what our Mishnah is discussing now. First of all, they are pturim min ha-bechora u-min ha-matanot. They're patur from bechora matanot even after the redemption. Even after they are nivdot, they are patur from matanot and from bechora, because it says by the bechora, tzon uvakar, a bechor is made out of tzon bakar, and our pasuk says, katzvi v'ka'ayal. That the psulei ha-mukdashim have a din like tzvi and ayal. Tzvi and ayal do not have a din of bechora, because bechora only applies to behemot sheirot, behemot tehorot. Tzvi and ayal are chayot tehorot. So the din of bechora does not apply to them. Since the din of bechora does not apply to them, and we're comparing psulei ha-mukdashim to tzvi v'ayal, it means they will also be paturim min ha bechora. And with regards to the matanot, the Zraya, the Chaim, and the Kebar are also only noheg, imshor, imse, and atan lekohen, azro lechaim vekeba. Again, only behema teora. And if you compare the psulei mukdashim to a tzvi and ve'ayal, then obviously you're not going to be chayav. So that's why even after the redemption, even after you have it back in your possession, there will be no din of bechora, there will be no din of matanot. Ve'einon yotzim lechulin, even after you redeem them, you're not allowed to eat gazes, to shear them, le'aved, to work with them, v'vladan v'chalvan asur lachar pidyonan, and their offspring and their milk production are asurim even after they're redeemed and it becomes chulin that you're allowed to eat, they still have restrictions associated with them. And that's based on the puzzle that we read. The puzzle we read from Dvarim Yud Bet says, rak b'chol avat nafshecha tizbach v'chalto basar. So the Gemara in Bechorot has the limud, which is Tanravanan, Tzvi, Ma Tzvi Patur Min HaBechorah, Absulim Mukdashim Turim Min HaBechorah, Utsi Ani Et HaBechorah, Velo Utsi Et HaMatanot, Tomel Omer Ayo, Ma Ayo Patur Min HaBechorah Min HaMatanot, Absulim Mukdashim Turim Min HaBechorah Umin HaMatanot. So the comparison, Tzvi and Ayah, one of them comes to eliminate Bechorah, one of them comes to eliminate Matanot, they're eliminated. Then, what about Vein Yosim Lechulim? The Tan Rabbanan, Tizbach. The Pasuk says Tizbach, you have to shecht it, Velo Gizan. You're not entitled to shear it. Basar, you can eat the meat, Velo Chalav, but you can't have the milk production. Ve'achalta, you can eat it, Velo Liklavecha, but you can't give it to your dogs. That we'll get to in a second, which is that if it dies, you're not allowed to redeem it in order to feed it leklavim, that you ain't podim kodoshim la'achilam leklavim, you can't redeem kodoshim to give it to klavim, plus you need hamadah v'aracha over here, and hamadah v'aracha you can't do. Now, vladan, what about their offspring? So with regards to their offspring, the Gemara asks in Bechorot, hechidami, it's after they've been redeemed, what's going on here? Ileima di'aber v'iti'aled achar pejomanan, if they got pregnant and they gave birth after they were already redeemed, amai, Vlad Tzviva Ayalu. It's like the offspring of a Tzvivin Ayal. It's totally chulin. What's the problem? So that can't be the issue. Ella, the Aber Lifnei Pidjonan. They got impregnated it while they were still Hekdesh Biktushat Aguf. After Ijialid Achar Pidjonam. And they gave birth after they were already redeemed. So if the conception was while they were still Kadosh Biktushat Aguf, before the redemption, then the offspring are a serim, and that's the case that we're speaking about here, as well as that's the chiddush in the earlier part of the mission. The other part of the mission which says, vladan mutarim is even though they were conceived, even though they were impregnated while they were kedushat damim. Nevertheless, it's still yours, it's chulin, the vladan are mutarim. So that's a chiddush on both sides, because this case is where they had the conception, or the conception happened while it was either kadosh kedushat damim, kadosh kedushat aguf. Then they gave birth after the redemption. In the case of Kedushat Damim, it's mutar for you. Whereas by the case of Kedushat Aguf, by Psulam Mikdashim, they are asurin. Va'ashochtan b'chutz, chayav. Some of the shkitan in b'chutz is chayav. Now this is a little bit problematic, because we know that a Baal Mum is not roi l'mizbeach. So how could you say that a shochet b'chutz is chayav if you have to redeem it? Then you can check the b'chutz. But while it's still kadosh, and it still has kedushat aguf, even but has a mum in it, it can't go on the mizbeach. Can't go on the mizbeach. No, this is before the b'diyah. So why is it that you can't? Why are you chayav for shechitat chutz? So the Gemara is going to answer in b'chutz. The Gemara will say that this is according to Rabbi Akiva. This is the shita of Rabbi Akiva that dokin shibayin, which is a light form of a mum. Even though it's posel in terms of the moon to put on the mizbeach, nevertheless, imala lo yared. If it goes on the mizbeach, we don't take it off the mizbeach. So since dokin shibayin, if it ended up on the mizbeach, would remain on the mizbeach, if you shoftan b'chutz, you will be chayav. So it's this unique moon that we're talking about here that makes it posel the mizbeach, and therefore it's psulei hamukdashim. Nevertheless, in that outside case that it was put on the mizbeach, it would remain on the mizbeach, not be taken down. Because of that, the shochtan b'chutz is chayav in that scenario. Any other mum that would not allow it on the mizbeach, and if you put it up, you'd have to take it down, shochtan b'chutz would be patur. Vosim tmura, they make tmura, which is exactly for the same reason why it didn't work by the kedushat amim, it works by kedushat aguf, because there we said by the pasuk of tmura, rabitov tov b'ra, which is that even a baal mum can be matpis, can create kedusha into a Tamim. What's the case of the Baal Mum? It's a case where it was Kadosh Kedusha Aguf and then got a Mum. Vimeitu Yikavru. If they die, they have to be buried. They cannot be redeemed. We just spoke about that because it says V'achalta V'lo L'klavecha. If you redeem this animal that died, it is a Nevela. You can't do anything with a Nevela except give it to your dogs. And we said that there was a restriction in the usage of the Psulei Mikdashim that has to be eaten V'lo L'klavecha, not given to your dogs. So you can't redeem it in order to give it to your dogs, in addition to that it needs hamada v'aracha, that it needs to be assessed, the value assessed, and since it can't stand up anymore, it can't be assessed. Right, that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, taima dichtov rachmano otam, because we had the posuk by Chazev v'shok that said otam, halav hochi, had it not been for that, hava mino, I would have thought, kodshim chayavim v'matanot, the kodshim would also be in addition to the Chazen Shok by the Shlamim. So you call him Ifrach. Why is it such a good Kal Vachomer? Malu Chulin, Shekeni Chayavin Bechora. Chulin is Chayavin Bechora, Kodashim are Pturim in Mina Bechora. So that'll be Mafrich, that'll ruin this Kal Vachomer. Kodashim are not always more Chamor than Chulin. Sometimes the Chulin are more Chamor. When it says, Teitim is Zacharim. I can make the Kal Vachomer in male animals. They use male animals, the Inyan of Bechora does not come up anymore. Since the Inyan of Bechora doesn't come up anymore, by Zacharim I can make this Kal Vachomer. So when it says, Malu Zacharim Shekeni Chayavin Bereshit Hageiz, there's another chumrah in chulin, which is the matnote of Reshit Hageiz, found in the subsequent pasuk there, that chulin have, which is not true by kodoshim. So mitayashim. We'll go to male goats, because they don't have any wool to shear off, so there's no Reshit Hageiz, and there's no bechorah. Malu tayashin, shekein nechnasim ledir lehitaser. Wait a minute. Oh, masrot. You have maser behema. Maser behema only applies to behemot chulin, does not apply to Behemot Kodashim, that's another Chumrah in Chulin. So even though the Tayash doesn't, the male goat doesn't have Reshit Hageiz, doesn't have a din in Bechora, nevertheless it still has a din in Maaser Behema, which is a Chumrah. So Mizkinim, we'll do with older ones. Older ones not meaning that they're older, but they've already gone through the process of Maaser. They're already counted in a grouping of 10, so now they're Paturim in a Maaser. Mother Zkinim, Shekein Nichnasu Ledir, Lehitaser. Alright, wait a minute. Zakenim already entered the deer. Okay, yes, they're not now going in to be Maser Behema, but they already went through the process of Maser Behema. That's not true of Kodashim. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it now, Milakoach V'yatom. Learn out of Milakoach and V'yatom. Truthfully, you could learn it now from any of the animals that have these psulim that disqualify them from the Mizbech, as Tosfot points out. Lakoach, if you purchase an animal, you're not Chayav in Maser Behema. Maser Behema is only if the animals are born in your flocks. And Yatom is an animal whose mother died in childbirth. And that's because by the case of Maser, in the case of by Kodoshim, Duktiv Tachatimo, by the Pasuk of the qualifications for an animal to be on the Mizbeach, it says over there that it'll be with its mother for 8 days, and then afterwards it'll be Kasher the Mizbeach. So the fact that it says Tachatimo, Prat Liyatom, that comes to exclude an animal that is orphaned, meaning the animal lost its mother in childbirth, there it cannot be put on Mizbeach. Since it doesn't qualify the Mizbeach, it also doesn't qualify for Maser Behema. That's what Tosu points out. There are other disqualifications for the Mizbeach, like Kilayim, like a Treifa, and they also will be Turim from Maser Behema. So any of these items could have been the one that we learned the Kal Vachomer from. So Malu Lekoach V'yatom, Shekein Nechnasim B'minan L'dir, L'itaser. Wait a minute. Yes, they themselves don't go in for Maser Behema, but their species, anything that didn't have this particular psul in their kind, would go in for Maser Behema. B'nam Minan Kamart. Wait a minute, you're saying in their species? Kodoshim Nami B'minan Nechnasim L'dir, L'itaser. Wait a minute, also Kodoshim too, because they're Kodosh. But if the animal wasn't Kodesh, it would also end up in the deer, would also end up in the corral to be brought Maser Behema. And the Gemara says, okay, we have a Kal Vachomer, it's not Nifrach, Bechora, and Matnot. We say eliminate by making the Kal Vachomer out of an animal that's not Chayav in those. So we use a male goat. A male goat, again, is Chayav in Maser Behema. We said, well, wait a minute, we can come up with a scenario in which there is a male goat that doesn't have Maser Behema, because it has some other disqualification. Where it says, well, you can do the same thing in Kodashim. In Kodashim, where it's disqualified Maser, it's Min has Maser. So to over here, by this disqualification of the male goat that has, like a Yatom, that's disqualified, in its Min it also has Maser Behema. So in that level, they're equal. If they're equal, then you can still make the Kal Vachomer, which is that if the Chazev Eshuk comes off the Kodashim, and does not come off chulin, then chulin that gives the zroah lechayim in the keba, kal vachomer to kodashim that you should have to give the zroah lechayim in the keba. Along comes the pasuk and says v'tein otam, that by kodashim you're limited to chazev shok and no more. And now David's question: can't you make the kal vachomer the other way? Exactly that. Once you've done aviyu chulin chayavim b'chazev shok, let chulin be chayav in chazev shok mikal vachomer. Uma kodashim she'ein chayavim b'matanot. Kodashim don't give zroah lechayim in keba. Chayavim b'chazev v'shok, yet they have to give chazev v'shok. Chulin shechayavim b'matanot. Chulin that have to give matanot. Ein odin shechayavim b'chazev v'shok. Shouldn't they also have to give chazev v'shok? Amar Kra. This will be the Mishpat HaKohanim. That's the Pasuk that we read by Zerua L'Chaim and Kebal. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. V'zeh Mishpat. Yeh Mishpat HaKohanim. Et Am Et Zobchei HaZevach. Im Shor Im Seh V'natan HaKohen HaZerua L'Chaim and Kebal. Zeh is a Miut. Zeh In Midah Achrin Alo. These are the gifts from the Behemat Chulin and nothing more. It's a limiting limud. Zeh and no more. V'ah Bayit Shnufa. What's the Habamina here? The Habamina that you have Chazeh B'Shok will go to the Kohen from the Behemat Chulin. Doesn't require the wave offering that is associated with the shlamim. And that's from Vayikra, Perek Zayin. It says, Vayadav tivyenu et eshi Hashem, et hachelev ala chazeh yivyenu, et hachazeh lanif otam tnufa lifnei Hashem. You have to do a wave offering with the chazeh and the shok before it goes to the Kohen. So how are you going to do a wave offering with the chazeh and shok of a bemat chulin? Hechal linufinu. Where are you going to do this wave offering? Iavrai. You want to do it outside the Mikdash? It says in the Pasuk, we just read it, Tnufa lifnei Hashem. It says, that's be done lifnei Hashem. Iagavai, what do you want to do? Bring it into the Mikdash? Gamayel chulin lazara. You're bringing chulin unnecessarily, as Rashi says, mida delo itavid by tzorach gavoa. You're bringing it unnecessarily. The only benefit here is to a hejot. There's no benefit to Hashem in this item. So why should you bring this into the Mikdash? It's chulin lazara. That's not allowed. Hilkach lo efshar. So therefore, it's impossible. Meaning that even if you were to suggest the Kabbal Chomer is right, it wouldn't help you. Chazev Shok cannot have a tnufa done by them. So it's obvious that Ben Heimat Chulin would not be Chayav in Chazev Shok. So now, Elazeh Lamali. So what do I do with the word Zeh now? We're going to use the word Zeh for the limit of Rav Chista now. The Amar Rav Chista, Hamazik, Madnot Kuna, Oshe Achlan, Potur Milishalem. Someone who does damage to Matnot Kuna, or ate them, does not have to repay them. Because the word Zeh means Zeh. They get this and no, nothing else. They don't get any recompense. They don't get any replacement for this item if you damage it or if you eat it. It's this and nothing else. That's his limud. So that he learns out of the word Bezeh. Gufa. So now the Gemara is going to investigate this a little more. Amar Rav Chista, Mazik, Matnot Kiuna. Someone has damaged to Matnot Kiuna. Oshe Achlan, Patur Min Lishalem, Mai Taima. What's the reasoning? That's the limit of Rav Chista. Some people say the reason is from the miut of Zeh. It's a money that has no claimant. The problem here is that as opposed to in secular law where you can have a class action could represent an entire class that has been damaged and damaged in the same manner. So they can come together as a class and make a claim for the entire class. That's just not true in Torah law. In Torah law, you have to have an individual claimant. When the individual claimant comes, he can make a tana, he can make a claim on his behalf. What he can't do is say, I represent the entire class. These matnot kuhuna don't belong to any individual kohen. They belong to the shevet as a whole. They belong to all kohanim. They belong to any, and we'll see again with matnot aniim, the same thing. They belong to all aniim when there's a matana that goes to them. No individual ani and no individual kohen has a direct claim on it. The class, the shevet, has a claim on it. The problem is that we don't have class actions in Yadut. Therefore, over here, if someone does damage to the matnot kuhuna, who's going to come and make the claim? Any kohen who comes and makes the claim against this individual to try to extract the recompense, to extract the replacement for this, they'll say to them, you're not representing. I want to give it to another kohen. I would have given it to another kohen. You're not the individual who this belongs to. And therefore, he can be mitachehem, he can push them away, because it's mamon she'in lo tovim. So the one who says that it's mamon she'in lo tovim will have the word zeh for another limud, and we'll see what do we do with that. As Tosfos points out, by the way, that there is a nafkamina where you learn it from. If you learn it out from the word zeh, versus learning out that it's mamon she'in lo tovim, will make a difference in bidei shemayim, let's say bidei shemayim. The word zeh says that I'm patur legamrei. This is the matnot kuhuna. There is no replacement for that. That means if you're patur after you're mazikit, or after you ate it, you're patur legamrei. There's no even, let's say, yidei shemayim. There is no chiyuv here. Whereas, when we say that it's mamon she'en lo tovim means that you otherwise should be chayav to give this, just that nobody can make a directed claim over here. No one can make an absolute claim on the item. And that's what Tosfot says over here. V'ika behani trei lishnei. He can't bring him to Beit Din to make a claim. Nevertheless, in Dine Shemaim, he's still chayav to be yotzei, yotzei chovah, to pay. They give, replace this, mandor kuna. The Lishna Kama, according to Lishna Kama, the Dorish Lame Vizeh, let's say, Vizeh, afilu bidine Shemaim lo mechayev. It's not even chayav in Dine Shemaim. It's an important distinction that Tosfot makes over here between whether there is a, let's say, Yedei Shemaim in this case. Meitevei. Zeye Mishpat HaKohanim. Zeye Mishpat HaKohanim. Amen. Shamatnot Din. So that's the word Mishpat. Ah, the word Mishpat comes to teach you that there's a Din. You can go to Beit Din and you can extract it. Oh, the Mai Hilchata. What does it mean that there's a Din? Lav Lo Tzian B'Dayanim. Sounds like you can go to Beit Din and you can make a claim. If that's the case, that goes against what we just said. Goes against Rav Chista's limud, as well as what we said, that it's mamon, shein lo tovim. So lo v'cholkan b'dayanim. To distribute them by the danim, ukedei Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Like the limud of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, damar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, amar Rabbi Yonatan, minayin shein nodim matana l'kohen amaretz, or matnot l'kohen amaretz. How do you know that you don't give the gifts of that are matnot kuna, that are in the gevulim, or even the mikdash, to a kohen amaretz? Shinemar, because it says in Divrei Yamim, it says about the Kohanim, Umanata Melech min Ruchushol Alot, the Alot HaBoker Vayarev, the king supplied the korbanot for the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, Valot L'Shabbatot L'Chodeshim L'Moedim Kakatub B'Torat Hashem. He provided all of the public korbanot he put in from his treasury. Vayomer La'am L'Yoshvei Yishalayim, he said to the people living in Yerushalayim, "Latet minat haKohanim v'Levim, to give the portions that belong to the Kohanim and Levim, l'man yechezku b'Torat Hashem, so that they should strengthen the Torat Hashem." I mean, the job of the Kohanim and Levim is the chazik b'Torat Hashem, that they should support the Torat Hashem. They should be the leaders in terms of Torat Hashem. So, based on that, Shmuel Nachmeni says, "Kol machzik b'Torat Hashem yeshlo manat." If you're machzik b'Torat Hashem, if you uphold the Torat Hashem, then you're entitled to the portion. Sheino machzik b'Torat Hashem. If you're not machzik b'Torat Hashem, if you're not holding in Torah, you're not shomer Torah mitzvot. You're not a person that cares about these issues. Then ain't no manat. Then you shouldn't be entitled to the matot kuna. And if you have a choice to give it to a chaver or an amaretz, you should always opt to give it to a chaver. Tosa points out, that's only if there's a chaver available. We don't say, keep it around until you find a chaver. If the only one there that's an amaretz, you have to give it to the amaretz. And Tosa says, I know dafka sheish koin chaver. Avel ileka koin chaver la amaretz yinulo. Vayam tida she's damen lo chaver. Don't wait around until you find a chaver. Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteir Omer, mishpat, l'meid shema no din. That they might not have this din. Yachol afilo chazev eshok din. I would think that Chazem Mishok also have the same din, that they can be taken out in Beit Din. Talmud Omar Zed. See, the words, the word Zed to eliminate it. So here, he has a different limbo with the word Zed, not like Rav Chista. He obviously will have to hold that the reason that the matnot kuna are not replaced when you're mazik them or you eat them is because of its mamon she'en lo tovim. So he has the Zed available to make this limbud. It says Zed has a mishpat. Only matnot kuna of Zeror L'Chaim and Keba have a din of mishpat. Nothing else. But now, this seems very strange. If you interpret the word mishpat to mean that a Kohen has a right to extract it in Beit Din, then I can understand its application by Chazeh V'Shok. Why by Chazeh V'Shok we'd have a din? Because you also could take that out by Beit Din. But if you say the whole issue is l'chaleik, to divide it up, to give it to a chaver, not an amaretz, then the mai. Ilim l'cholko b'dayanin. If you're talking about that the reason here that you have mishpat to tell you that you give it to the chaver, not the amaretz, based on the din, why would you exclude Chazeh V'Shok? Why would you say Chazeh V'Shok don't have this din? It sounds like you can have a directed claim through Beit Din. You can make a claim on the matnot of the Zeror L'Chaim and Keba that you can't do by Chazeh V'Shok. Mai says, no. The case here is, we're dealing with the case here, the Kohen already has the matnot. Since he already has the matnot, he can go make a claim in court that you took him away from him. If it's in his hands already, then what's there to talk about? It's his money. If you gave Zeror L'Chaim to a Kohen, it becomes his possession. If it's his possession, of course you can steal it, or if you damage it, you gotta pay. It's just a question here. He had the animal in his possession, why they were still with the animal. Because in this time, I believe, even though they have yet to be nifrash, they have yet to be taken off, there's if they're removed. It says if removed. So since the animal was in the possession of the Kohen, and he was zocheh in the matanot, Sheshavim lechol hakohanim. Tikkun with all kohanim, but it happens to be that it was with him, so therefore he keeps it. But by the chazev shulk, that's not true. Because it's not, it doesn't belong to all kohanim. It only belongs to that beit av, the lamahari. So if you're a kohen, it happens to be your beit av, maybe it would work. But it's not a din that works everywhere. For any kohen who gets the zerua l'chayv in the keba, he's entitled to it. Because any kohen could take it. So therefore, if it's in his possession beforehand, and as if removed, as if removed means that he gets to keep it. It becomes like it's in his possession. Whereas by the chazev shulk, it's only an entitled to the one who brings the karban during that week, which is the beit av that is serving on that day. It's the mishmar that has that week, the beit av of that day. And therefore, not every kohen can just take it. So therefore, you don't have this din like you have by the matnot. The matnot that are available to everybody, any kohen that has in his possession, he'll keep it. But the chazev shulk, it goes to those that are working in the mikdash. So it has to be either in their possession or in the mikdash in order for them to be entitled to it. Tashma. Balabayit. Balabayit ashir. This is someone who was a wealthy individual. Shayover mi makom makom. He was traveling. And now he becomes a poor person because he's traveling, because he has nothing to eat. Tzrichli tol, lekat shechcha v'peyah u'maser ani. He's entitled there. He's poor now. He's entitled to take from lekat shechcha v'peyah u'maser ani. No tell. He takes it. Look, sheyachzor. When he gets back home, yishalim. He should repay the aniim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. But it says, fine, he's entitled right now to take it, because he's an ani now, but truthfully, underlying, he's an ashir, and therefore he has to replace what he took. Amrav chista, midat chasidut shanuka. The ani, he has to pay the aniim, he has to give it to an ani. Now, Rav chista says, midat chasidut shanuka. It's a nice thing to do. On this statement of Rabbi Lezer, he says, the fact that he has to pay it back is not an obligation. It's just a nice thing to do. Why is it not an obligation? Same problem we have with the kohanim. You have here a class of aniim that are entitled to the money, but if you don't have a toveya, no individual ani can come and be toveya him over here. The Beit Din doesn't have a plaintiff. You have a class, but not a plaintiff. So because of that, nobody can make a claim against him. Therefore, he has to pay it back. He should pay it back. It's a nice thing to do, but nobody can obligate him to pay it back. Amarava, Tano, Tani, Yishalim. But Rabbi Lezer says he should, Yachzor, Yishalim. Sounds like you must pay it. And you're suggesting that Rav Chista is saying that this is a midat chasidut, meaning that Rav is not saying this to Rav Chista directly, but rather in the Beit Midrash. When they said over the member of Rav Chista, he says, what are you talking about? The Braita says that he has to pay, and then Rav Chista is saying that it's a midat chasidut, that doesn't make sense. Vote. Mimi de Rabbi Eliezer likum veleituv. What problem does he have with Rabbi Lezer's position that forced him to say that we have a midat chasidut here? What compelled Rav Chista to say midat chasidut kan? Is there a question about Rabbi Lezer's position that drove him to say that it has to be midat chasidut kan? What compelled Rav Chista to change the pashut meaning of Rabbi Lezer? There's nothing here that compels you to change the meaning.
Tosfot notes over here that this question of the Braita saying Yishalem and Rav Chista is coming along and saying that it's a midat chasidut works well according to the Deya above. They learned it out of the pasuk v'zeh. Learned out of the pasuk v'zeh. You're potter min dine adam, potter min dine shamayim. So how could you claim that the Braita says Yishalem and yet you call it midat chasidut? We're not obligated to pay at all. But according to the mandamar above that it's mamon she'en lo tovim, then you're potter min dine adam, but you are chayav b'dine shamayim. Then why is it such a question over here? Yishalem over here could be midinei shamayim. And that's what he's saying, midat chasidut. So why is it such a big question? So Tosfot wants to differentiate and say that the case above where he stole it, or he ate it, he damaged it, he did something wrong to the matnot kuhuna, over there there's a din, let's say, yidei shamayim. But over here, where he took it beheter, because he wasn't ani at the time, over there, even, let's say, yidei shamayim, even according to one who says that it's mamon, neshen lo tovim, he would even say over here that there's no din of, let's say, Tidei Shemayim. Tosfot then says, well, later on, we're going to see in a second in the Gemara, that doesn't fit so well into the next part of the Gemara, where the Gemara distinguishes between an ani and ashir. It says an ani doesn't have to pay, an ashir does have to pay. According to that, in Mandarma, you could have explained it. An ani doesn't have to pay even Bidei Shemayim. An ashir, let's say, Tidei Shemayim, would have to pay. So why doesn't the Gemara answer that? The fact that it doesn't answer that seems to upend the explanation that there's a din, let's say, Yidei Shemayim. So he brings Beinu Tam, who gives a different explanation of the question over here. He says, how could it be that Rabbi Lezer says Yishalem, Rav Chista claims that it's Midat Chasidut, and then the Rabbanan argue on him? Why would the Rabbanan argue on a Midat Chasidut? It's one thing to argue if the din is not that way. To argue on a Midat Chasidut, that doesn't make so much sense. And that's the nature of the question here, and that would work well according to either of the opinions that we mentioned above, whether you're Chayav, let's say, Yidei Mishamayim or not.
So therefore, Ella, Rava says that Rav Chista made the statement, but he made it on the Seifa, which is Chachamim Omrim, Ani Haya Ba'oto Sha'a. Chachamim say that he is an Ani at that time, therefore he has no obligation to repay it. Suppose the Rabbi Lazar says you do have to repay it when you get home, Chachamim say you do not have to repay it. Taima de Ani, since he was poor at that time. Ha'ashir, if he was rich at that time, Mishalem, he would have to pay. Meaning that if you take Lechet Shichcha and Peyah and Matnot Aniyim while you're an Ani, meaning that while you're traveling, then fine. That's okay, you're entitled to it, you don't have to repay it. But if you were an Ashir at that time and you took it, that's stealing from the Aniyim. Amai, why does he have to repay it? Mazik Matnot Kuna Oshachlan. It should be no different that when like the member of Rav Chista by the Matnot Kihuna, that says that there is no Chiyuv. Now Rav Chista has a problem. Chizda is addressing a question on his shita. That's why he has to answer it. But Rabbi Lezer, there was no question on his shita. Over here, there's a question on his shita. His shita was Amar Rav Chizda, Mazik Matnot Kuna, Oshachlan Patur Melishalim. Over here, all of a sudden, you have Matnot Aniyim, and we're suggesting if an Ashir steals them, and he has to repay them. Why should that be different than a Kohen? So Amar Rav Chizda, Midut Chusidut Shanukan. Not that he has to give it back, but rather it's a midat chasidut to give it back. So that diuk that you're trying to make out of the fact that it says because he's an ani, he doesn't have to repay it. Don't make a diuk that if he was an ashir, he would have to repay it. Ela im chasidu tzarich l'shalem. Now that if he's an ashir, then he has to pay it back. No, he's not obligated to pay it back. It's a midat chasidut. If he's an ashir, he should pay it back. Not obligated to pay it back, but he should pay it back, and that's what Rav Chista said, midat chasidut shenukan in the deal. Otashma. Minayin labayit the balabayit shachal perutav tevalim. A balabayit that eats his perut while they're still tevel. Without being mafrish to trumot to masrut. Chen levi shachal masrutav tevalim. He ate his maaser rishon while, before the trumat maser was taken off of it. Minayin shepatur min atashlumim. How do you know that he doesn't have to replace it now? He just ate. The Levi ate the Trumat Maser that was in his Maaser Rishon. Does he have to pay it back to the Kohanim? There's in the Bel Bayit who ate it. He stole from the Kohanim the Trumah. He stole from the Levi the Maaser Rishon. Does he have to repay it? Tamal Omar. Velo chal yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael asher yarimu. That the chilul only happens asher yarimu after it's taken it off. In the Chabem el mishat haramah ve'elech. The Kohanim, the Levim, only have entitlement in their matanot after they've been removed from the Tevel. If they're still part of the Tevel, they are not entitled to it. Ha mishat haram ve'elech. But it sounds like once it is removed, mi'a mishalim, you would have to pay it. Amai, this is another question of Rav Chista's position. Rav Chista said, havik mazik matnot kuna. Rav Chista said by the matnot kuna, mazik matnot kuna, oshachlan pator mishalim. So also over here, when you have the haramahs already done, they were separated out, already, why is it that this balabayit has to pay the kohen? Why is it this levi has to pay the kohen? It's a mazik matnot kuna. It's an eating of matnot kuna. You should be patur. Why is the bright saying you're chayav? Hachanami, the auto liyode betiv lahu. So we're going to make answer the same way we answered the case by the matnot of the animal, which is that it came into their possession while it was still tevel. Came into the possession of the kohen while it was still tevel. Because over Haitano, that this Tana believes, Haimatnot Shul Hormu, Kamisha Hormu Damyan. That even though they haven't yet to be Nifrash, even though they have yet to be separated out, they're as if separated. And since they are as if separated, therefore we give it, the Kohen has already taken possession of it. The Kohen has taken possession of it, and then you eat it, or you damage it, then you're going to be Chayav to the Kohen. So Rav Chista is talking about a normal case. In a normal case, we have Truma, or you have Trumat Maser, or you have the Matnot of the Zerua L'chaim and the Keba, the Balabait, the one who owns them, or the Levi who owns the Trumat Maser, has the ability to give it to whoever he wants. The Mamon belongs to nobody, it belongs to the Shevet. The Shevet has a claim on it, but no individual has a claim on it. Therefore, if they're damaged, or they're eaten, you don't have to replace it, because either there's no claimant, or you have a miut from the Pasuk, which is Vizeh. But, if somehow the Kohen already took possession of it, obviously if you gave it to him already, then you can't come and take it back because it's in his possession. It's his money. So if you damage it and if you eat it, you'll be chayav. But there's this middle case, this gray case where you didn't give it to the Kohen, but the Kohen was in possession of the item, whether it's the tevel or whether it's the zerua l'chaim and the kevav through the animal. He's in possession of the animal either because he's zachav from the hefker on this animal or that the individual gave him the tevel. It's called the truma. He goes, here, take the tevel and you can have the truma, and then he takes the tevel back. So in those cases, we say that since the truma is yet to be separated, or since his Rav Chaim had not been separated, we'd think the Kohen has no possession in it. The answer is that this Tana, that he holds like this Tana, that even if it's not separated, it's as if separated. So therefore, when it came to the possession of the Kohen, even if it was Tevel, it was a full animal. Nevertheless, the Kohen gets possession over this item because he's Zochem in a Hefker, because it's as if removed already. Since it's as if removed already, he gets to keep it, and now if you damage it, or if you eat it, you're going to be chayav to replace it to that individual Kohen. And therefore, there is a claimant over here. There's that individual Kohen. But when it's a class claiming, and that's the statement of Chista, there is no monetary obligation. Okay, we'll stop over here.